Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Yes, hi again. It's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. Welcome once again. I'm so glad to have you around. This little podcast is growing, so if you haven't already listened to some of the back episodes, go ahead and listen to them now. Very different topics have been covered, and I'm always coming up with new ones because so much of sexless marriage touches so much of our lives. It affects our work, the interpersonal relationships, obviously the relationship we have with our spouse and our children, the stresses that come from not having an intimate relationship with our partner can affect everything, even if we are not aware of it. I know this to be true because I had a sexless marriage of my own, a 10-year-long sexless marriage. Oh, and before I go too much further, I think I mentioned in my last podcast it was 17 years of marriage. It wasn't. It's 10 years of marriage and 7 years of dating. Sometimes I get the numbers confused. It was 17 total years, but 10 years of those were married. And yes, I did suffer like you are suffering. I'm assuming that you are a sufferer of a sexless marriage. I doubt very much if people who cause the suffering come along to these podcasts and seek out information on them, because quite often they're not even aware that they're causing the problem. But yes, you are probably the sufferer and seeking information on what to do when it comes to your sexless marriage. Now, I wrote a book. It's all fiction, kind of, which brought in all the elements of my sexless marriage, and I made a story out of it. It's called Seethings. It's one of the reasons why the podcast exists, but obviously it has real-world ramifications to it. So I share my experiences on the podcast. I've also shared it inside the book. More information comes out inside the book because it gives me more time to refine and go through my memory of what happened all of those years ago. And I say all of those years ago because we're no longer married, and thank God. It caused me so much grief and so much pain that I didn't even realize how far down the rabbit hole I had gone. And it took some time to find myself again at the end of that marriage. We never had any children. That's okay. That makes things less complicated. And I don't have an ongoing contact with my former wife, which is fabulous because there's no need to go back over history in that part with her. But I can do it with you and talk to you more about how you feel about your sexless marriage. And I've been contacted over the last few months by various individuals around the globe wanting to tell me about their stories. And you're quite welcome to do the same thing. You can find me on my private website, on my personal website rather, at michaelformanwriting.com. michaelformanwriting.com. There's also a possibility that you can contact me through the app that you're running to listen to this podcast. Some of them allow you to send messages back upstream. But if you can't do that, come across to my website at michaelformanwriting.com. Do a Google search or type in the word Seethings, which is the title of my book, and it'll bring you across to my website. The original source for the podcast comes from anchor.fm. Anchor, like as in a ship's anchor, .fm. But you might be picking it up through Spotify or wherever. Podcasts come to you in all various ways. I don't have any control in that, but the source code comes from anchor.fm. Okay, so today's podcast is about how long will it take for you to make change in your life? How long will you put up with this? Clearly, you've put up with it for a period of time already. And for some people, it can be a relatively short time, like a couple of months, and you get frustrated and you turn to podcasts like these. But there are many people who are now into several years and decades of not having sex with their partner. Now, I had a conversation just this week gone with a sufferer, and the question I asked was, where do you see yourself in, say, 10 or 20 years? Would you see yourself doing the same thing with your partner for another 10 years? And the first thing that person said was, absolutely not. Don't want to be doing this. There was a time in my life where I did the same thing. It got to 7 years in our marriage, and I felt that this isn't something that I wanted to keep doing this way. I didn't want to accept it for another 7 years. In fact, for 7 years of our 7-year marriage, we didn't have sex. So I put a time frame on it. I think I gave myself 3 months at that stage. I thought, if we haven't had sex in the next 3 months, I'm going to make a stand. Of course, this comes off the back of a lot of counseling. Any of the stands that I could have made, I did make when we were having our counseling sessions. You know, I said to her that I don't like how this makes me feel. This is with the counselor present. I would like to see change, and this is not what I signed up for. And sexual frequency for me would be roughly, I suppose, once a week, once every 2 weeks. Not really sure. I haven't experienced it enough to know exactly where my frequency sits, but I certainly don't want it 0 times per year. That's unacceptable. I didn't marry my best friend. I married a woman. I want to feel loved. I want to feel touch. I want to feel valued. And I get that through sex as much as anything else. I just don't want to sit down and talk to you, have conversations with you every single day of my life. I actually married a woman as well. And if your roles are switched, let's say you're the wife who's frustrated, you can practically reverse all the roles, switch all the man stuff to woman and woman to man, and it'll all work out the same way. So don't be put off because I'm a male. Please don't be put off because I'm a male. There's only two sexes that we can talk about, and I just happen to be... I know what you're thinking. There's more than two sexes. I think the definitions have now reached about 70, haven't they? 70 different sexual types. But for the purposes of this podcast, let me just shorten it down to a simple male and female. I'm going to get wrapped over the knuckles for this. I know it already. So let's not focus on the pronouns so much, but more about the emotion and the feelings. If you have a partner in your life who is not available to you, not accessible to you, you still get the same feelings, whether it's he, she, they, or whatever. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to say to yourself, not to your partner. Yes, your partner will be involved somewhere in the discussion, but this one's for you. You say to yourself, where do I see myself in 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, or whatever? Do you want to still be doing it this way in 5 years, or in 10 years, or in 20 years? I think you should put a line in the sand for yourself. You say, look, by the end of this period, if there hasn't been change, I'm going to change something for me. If you want to do it through a counselor, and it probably is best to do it through a counselor because the third person is there to help you communicate your feelings and your thoughts. Sometimes your emotions run away. The words can't keep up and the words don't make sense. And quite frankly, nobody tells you how to talk this way, especially these sexual, intimate needs. You can't go out into the street and ask somebody. Your parents don't tell you things like this. So yes, I think a counselor, a third person who's able to manage conversation, not be biased, but to manage conversation, can be a real help. And you say to them, look, I don't see myself doing this for another 10 years, and I definitely need change for me. I don't know about us. I'd love to have it for us. But I can't make my spouse do what they don't want to do. I need change for me. Some way I've got to figure out how to deal with this for me. In spite of what they think, what they feel, what they say, I still have to think about me because this is doing my head in. Invariably, it's affecting everything, but certainly affecting myself and my state of mind. I can't seem to be able to feel complete. I'm always agitated, disappointed, depressed, jaded, whatever you want to call how you feel. But we all feel something when we're not getting enough. Put a time on it and take it to your counseling session. Tell the counselor that you don't want to be doing this. Now, if the counselor is wise enough and strong enough, they'll take that information to your spouse, reword it, configure it in a way that makes sense and is non-threatening. Maybe you'll come to some solution. At the very least, you have communicated your needs and you've told yourself that there's a time limit. It's going to be a scary time if it reaches up to that time and nothing has happened. You know, you said, oh, in 3 months, well, like I did, in 3 months' time, I'm going to make sure that there's a change. I mean, I got up close to that 3-month period and I thought, what the hell am I going to do? I talked tough. I'm either a liar to myself or I have to do something to make it happen. And that's a scary thing because I'm going to step out and do something I've never done before. Not necessarily step out on my partner, although I did that too, but make a change. Yes, I did that. I am sorry. I am sorry that you found out I was in a situation I couldn't control. And you are probably in the same situation. You'd be surprised how many people listening to this podcast are going, yes, I cheated too. They won't put their hands up. They won't shout it from the rooftops. They're not proud of what they did. They're a little bit ashamed even, but they had to do it. I had to do it. And I will tell you that my life changed in positive ways that you cannot believe. What a weird thing to say. I didn't want to cheat. I wanted my wife to be a woman. That's what I wanted. But I couldn't get that. And I had no role to play in making that happen. Except allowing it to happen. Over and over and over and over again. I enabled her. And I enabled our relationship to remain sexless for that period of time. By not having sex, I said that was perfectly fine. My actions told her a lot. It wasn't fine and it wasn't okay with me. And I made a decision in that 3-month period. If I hadn't, nothing had improved, I would make a change. And I did that. And I got better over it. Our relationship improved. It was the weirdest and dumbest thing that you could ever think about. This is not supposed to be a happy time. This is not meant to be joyous. And yet that's what it was. The pressure was off our relationship. The pressure was off me. The pressure was off her. And for a glorious 3 months, I think it was, some time ago now, we're talking 20 years ago, I was on top of the world. I felt guilty, but I felt less guilty than the guilt I was feeling for accepting the situation over and over and over again. And that's what people don't understand. They go, well, you did a bad thing. Well, I did a bad thing. Yes, I did a bad thing. But it was worse to be in a relationship, in a marriage, for 10 years and not get laid. We didn't have any children because we didn't get laid. So which is worse, the moral code you think I broke or the moral code I lived under that you knew nothing about? The relationship ended pretty much as soon as it started because, you know, complications do set in. I think I had my fill and I just had to back away. And my sexual partner did not want me to back away. And that's always the complication you get when you get involved with somebody outside your marriage. But I don't think less of you if you do. If you are doing that right now for saving your sanity, then go ahead and do it. You have to survive. And for some of us, this is what survival is. But definitely get counseling and definitely put a time frame on it. Don't be doing this for another 5 or 10 or 15, 20 years. You'd do that for everything else in your life, wouldn't you? I want to buy a house in 5 years' time, or I want to buy a car, or have a child, or whatever it is. Let's apply that rule to the sexless marriage scenario. It's going to get scary. I said that before. It's a terrible place to go to. Nobody tells you how to survive this way. But I hope with a little bit of what I offer here on the podcast that I might be giving you the first few steps into making a decision. It doesn't have to be divorce. I'm not necessarily saying that you need to go out and have an affair. Your interpretation of my words and how you apply it to your relationship is entirely up to you. Obviously, we come from different cultural backgrounds, different family upbringings, different expectations, different needs. You'll just have to apply the advice that I've given to you to your situation as best as you can. And hope and pray that it will work, whatever you need to do in order to survive. There are a lot of things at play once you start stirring the pot, and there is no right or wrong way. It's just the survival game. I didn't want to lose my wife. She was a very lovely person, very independent, intelligent. I think I've told you 1,000 times. It's why I loved her. But unfortunately, there was one area that lacked, and it affected our life. And as a good friend reminded me this week, it's just like food. If you go to a restaurant and nobody serves you food, you wonder why you're at the restaurant in the first place. Sex is like food. You two are together, husband and wife, or husband and husband, or wife and wife, or whatever the case may be. There is a certain level of intimacy that is expected between you, unless you agreed at the very beginning that you were never going to be intimate. But let's assume you're not in that particular position. You would imagine 99.9% of us would assume that sex would be involved, especially if it's a monogamous relationship. The sexless marriage statistics, if you want to come down to numbers, it's about one time a month. If it's less than one time a month, then it's deemed to be a sexless marriage. That number is not fixed. Obviously, it's not fixed. For me, it's not fixed anyway. Simply because some of us say that we're not getting any sex when we're actually getting some sex. What you're saying, what you're really meaning, is you're not getting enough sex. That's a different issue. That's a different issue. And then, of course, there's the quality of sex. And that's another issue on top of that as well. We're just talking about no sex. No sex. The number is less than once a month. Less than once a month. So if you don't get it once every 2 months, that's a sexless marriage by definition. I think I've spoken enough on today's podcast. Thank you to all who have been writing to me. If you want to contact me, it's michaelformanwriting.com, michaelformanwriting.com. And if you want to read my book, you go to smashwords.com, smashwords.com, and look for the title Seethings, S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G-S. Everything I've told you about in the podcast is somewhere located in the book, plus a whole lot more. It's a psychological thriller. When you get to the end, you'll be very surprised about the outcome. You've had a little bit of a heads up just by being a part of the podcast in the first place. Smashwords.com, look for Seethings. That's it. All done and dusted on this fine spring day here in Western Australia. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping. You may have even heard them in the background. It's about time the weather turned around. But I always say at the end of the podcast, because it can be so terribly depressing to be in a sexless marriage, that don't forget, it can always rain on your parade. See you later.